Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now that call-in on must-see family travel spots. Where in the world do you absolutely have to take your kids before they grow up? Or where did your parents take you? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. When I was off last week, my wife and I did take our two kids to Costa Rica. I took the side trip to El Salvador myself. They are 10 and 15 years old, and we were determined to take them to the rainforest one time before they grew up because it's so amazing to experience, and so they could understand the importance of it in a physical way, a visceral way, not just by reading about it. And I think it worked out great. They seemed amazed by the diversity of plant and animal life that we were able to see. It was like, whoever thought it would be a moving experience to see a sloth? But seeing one hanging from a tree in its contorted way in a remote corner of a wildlife preserve near the Nicaraguan border was one of the highlights of the week, just to give you an example of how biodiversity became real through experience. Did you know that if a sloth falls out of a tree, it can take 2 full days for it to meander back up? Government workers take note. No, I'm just kidding. But with limited time and limited money that we all have as parents or as kids, what's been the must-see family travel experience in your family's life? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Call us to tell your story from the perspective of parent or child. Or call us to make recommendations for families looking to break away from the beach at least once in a while, or at least once before their kids grow up. What's your must-see family travel destination and why? 212-433-9692. And maybe some of you have stories of family travel that didn't work out so well. Did your parents drag you somewhere before they thought you needed, drag you somewhere because they thought you needed to see it, and rather than turn you on to that piece of history or natural history or whatever it was, it felt boring or preachy and the whole thing backfired? Did you ever feel propagandized by your parents or lectured to, or you just wanted to go back to summer camp and make lanyards or whatever it was? Or the ones that were great, your must-see family travel destinations, your stories, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. To Donna in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC. Hi, Donna.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Where did you go?
Well, we took our family 2 years ago to South Africa, which was a transformational experience for all of us. In fact, my daughter, who was 14 at the time, just went back to Ghana to do volunteer work at the age of 16 with a bunch of 20-somethings. So seeing South Africa now, after the change that it's been through, was fabulous, as well as when you talk about the rainforest, as well as seeing the animals.
Yeah. How old were the kids?
Well, my youngest daughter was 14. The others were older, in their 20s.
And what impact do you think it had on your 14-year-old?
Well, she's incredibly committed to doing something in her life around Africa.
That's great.
Thank
you.
And, you know, in terms of race relations and the whole, transformation that happened there fairly peacefully, it's something that actually has touched all of us.
Thanks a lot for your call. Muriel in New Haven, you're on WNYC. Hi, Muriel.
Hi, good morning.
Where did you go?
I take grandchildren on trips all places in the world, and the two places that I would certainly recommend taking children to are Machu Picchu in Peru and Transylvania in Romania. And for two very specific reasons. Machu Picchu is a glory in itself, but it was an American beer company managed to get heavy equipment machinery up the huge mountain, and the machinery broke and chipped the corner off of the perfect stone.
What was a beer company going to do at Machu Picchu?
They were filming a commercial.
Oh.
And the head of the machinery fell off and broke this stone. Well, what happened to that was it ignited the enthusiasm of the indigenous people and other preservationists. And this ended the helicopter flying over Machu Picchu. It ended the plans to build a cable car up to Machu Picchu. Mm. And it ended a lot of the disastrous commercial endeavors that were going on.
So what effect do you think your trips have had on your kids, on your grandchildren?
I would like to think that it has expanded their horizons, taught them about community spirit. We lived along the Amazon for 2 weeks once, and our mode of travel was canoe. The other one I want to mention is Transylvania in Romania, and this was being taken over by commercial enterprises trying to build a Dracula theme park. And finally, the intervening factor in that was Prince Charles of England, who called the president of Transylvania, of Romania, and said, let's not do this. And that ended that. And so Transylvania now is still in its rural condition and not full of hotels, and junk.
Sounds like you're dogging crass development wherever you go. Muriel, thank you very much. And Nigar in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi, Nigar.
Nigar, I'm sorry.
No problem. I'm actually in my art studio in Brooklyn, so sorry about that. I'm going to answer the question in terms of where my parents took me.
Uh-huh.
I was born and raised in the U.S., but my parents in the 70s would take me to Iran to visit family and also to see a little bit of the country. And I'm not suggesting that I recommend people take their children to Iran right now necessarily, but it was a really amazing experience because very formative sort of years. It taught me, kind of gave me an understanding about the humanity of a place that unfortunately people in this country haven't had a lot of exposure to. It taught me at an early age, you know, from the hostage crisis on, that you can't necessarily believe what you see, you know, in the news as representing
either side, probably.
Culture and humanity.
Yeah.
So it was a very formative experience, and I guess I would encourage parents to try to take their children to a place that's not necessarily understood and to try to show, you know, have some exposure to what it might be like to live there and have as much contact as possible with people and not just sites and places.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And Terry in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Terry.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Let's see. We've traveled quite a bit with our son around the world, but I think two places stand out. One is China. We went there for the first time. I think it was 3 years ago. And in addition to like the sightseeing and so forth, the one thing that our son, who was then 11, took away from it was that the place was just on fire. You know, economically, that it, you know, you can see that even as a child by all the buildings going up and by the tremendous activity of all kinds. And and we came back from that trip, and he started studying Mandarin. He's been studying it now for almost 3 years. And now he's going to be 14, and I think he kind of sees China as, you know, in his future, as a place that he may very well end up working. And the other place we just got back from, we took a two-week drive around Tunisia from Tunis all the way down to the northern border of the Sahara. And that was very good because I think my kid came away from that realizing that the Muslim world, you know, doesn't have to be a frightening place, that you can be there and that the people can be kind and generous and helpful and that it just doesn't need to be frightening.
Terry, thanks a lot. And Ingrid in Leonia, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ingrid.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. I love your show.
Thank you. Where'd you go?
I grew up with going to Romania with my dad and mom. They were from there, and we were always going home. And then my dad always took us. He went to shows in Europe a lot, and he would take one of us at a time. I'm one of three. So I grew up going over there and visiting. And then with our own children, my husband's a big history buff, and I love art. So we have two children, and when they were in elementary school, we spent about 5 years. Each year we went in February, which was, you know, reasonable financially, and we would go to London for like a week, or another year we went to Paris for just a week, and they were small. They were in elementary school, but we kept it very simple, and we would see all the sights. They saw Berlin, Amsterdam, Rome, and it was a wonderful memory for them. And now that they're older, they've started going on their own again. And I think traveling like that with them has made them very secure, and just they're not scared. My son just got back from Europe. My daughter's 18. She's already been once by herself. They're very confident in actually the travel part of it.
It is funny to watch like a 10-year-old negotiate the airport scene, you know, once you've taken your, to save money, we were routed. We didn't fly nonstop. We were routed through El Salvador one way and Guatemala the other way, right? Mm-hmm. So that was a fair amount of airport experience over a week.
I think that's part of it. I think the traveling is part of being able to travel well.
Yeah.
And I think the more, it's just like anything, it's experience. And of course.
And also you meet different people as you travel in different places, even just waiting around, you know, even talking to people in the tourist industry, but not just using them as people to deliver you food or whatever, because they're, you know, you get a pretty ground eye view as you would
that's
in
right.
New York.
It's kind of like a slice of life.
If you really talk to them.
Yeah, my daughter was just in Paris, and she said, you know, nothing was in English. You know, and that was rare because we traveled a lot, and there's a lot of English. It's very easy these days, I think, to go around the world because there is a lot of English. It's much easier than years ago.
I once even took when I was just out of college, I wanted to go to California, and I didn't have money to go anyway other than by bus. And
yeah, I did that.
You did that? So did you take that 72 hours? Exactly. 72 hours, New York to San Francisco. It's exactly what I did. And
that's
even
right.
that, did you have the same experience that I did? Because for me, you know, I really hadn't been out there yet.
Right.
And,
I was like 18 or something.
And, you know, I was like 21 and seeing the different people getting
that's
on
right.
in Cleveland and Chicago and Utah and Cheyenne, Wyoming and Nebraska and all these places along Route 80 and that these
like
people
the pages
were real
of the book are flipping.
What?
And it's different.
Yes, and the people were really different.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed the actual travel part. I mean, I love we sightsee and you know, especially with children, you know, we would always like so you have to accommodate them. So we'd always have like a big lunch out, but by evening they were tired because we'd be out all day on foot. And so if you do it that way, you know, and just kind of pace it that way, they really do very well, I think, in any place in the world. My father just took 15 of us. He's a great traveler. He loves to travel. He took our entire family to South Africa last year.
Thank you for calling, Ingrid.
Thanks. Bye.
By the way, by sheer coincidence, we have Rick Steves booked for tomorrow to talk about traveling as a political act, as well as how to make the most of a weak dollar. But we'll kind of follow up on this tomorrow with Rick Steves. Gavina in Livingston, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your story?
I think it's great to take your children internationally. It's a wonderful thing. But I think especially for New Yorkers, it's important to travel within the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the places that I was taken when I was a child, which impressed me immensely, was the Grand Canyon. And I know it sounds kind of hack, but it was all the descriptions and the photographs you see in books just do not do justice to standing on the rim of the Grand Canyon.
It is awe-inspiring, that's for sure.
It really is. And I went out of my way now to take my children last year to do, you know, to do the hiking and to also, you can't just sort of fly into the Grand Canyon. You have to fly into Phoenix and take a car and travel through the desert, and that whole landscape is so impressive and so different from the Northeast of the United States.
Mommy, why are the rocks red?
Iron ore.
There you go. Davina, thank you very much. Sue in the East Village, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sue.
Hello. Well, she has just said a lot of the things that I would have said. And I will say, both my husband and I are from New York, and our parents didn't take us much of anywhere except to the beach. When our children were 8, 10, and 12, we took them to Seattle by car. We took the whole summer. We had a meeting to go to, and we saw many, many wonderful places. One of the first ones was the first Indian reservation that any of us had been on. This was in Seattle, in Minnesota.
We have literally 10 seconds. Do you think it had a certain impact on them?
Well, it made them all move out to either Seattle or Portland, Oregon.
And you said, what have I done?
Right.
I lost my children.
And I have, but we do travel back and forth a lot.
Sue, I have to leave it there. Thanks. Thanks to all of you who called with your must-see family travel spots. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.